Spring is here, and you can now get almost anything you need for your sunny days delivered with Uber Eats. What do we mean by almost? Well, you can't get a well-groomed lawn delivered, but you can get a chicken parmesan delivered. A cabana? That's a no. But a banana? That's a yes. A nice tan? Sorry. Nope. But a box fan? Happily, yes. A day of sunshine? No. A box of fine wines? Yes. Uber Eats can definitely get you that. Get almost anything delivered with Uber Eats. Order now. Alcohol in select markets. Product availability may vary by region. See app for details.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Check it out, Joel. New tunes for Sports by Northwest. What do you think of our new intro music?
Love it. It's new. It's exciting.
Bringing a new vibe to the podcast. It's good to be back. Been a couple of weeks. I'm Bill Oram, joined by Oregonian sports editor Joel Odom here on Sports by Northwest from the Oregonian and Oregon Live. Here to talk sports in the Northwest, hence the name Sports by Northwest. More on the theme music in a little bit, but Joel, something unprecedented is happening in the state of Oregon. I look around and I see the Beavers in the top 25. I see the Ducks in the top 10 with a, I would say, legitimate path to the CFP with a Dark Horse Heisman Trophy candidate. And I look at the Blazers, suddenly 5-1, playing Memphis tonight, looking well beyond, I think, where anybody thought this team would be after last year. Damian Lillard looked good, except for his injury. And Joel, when I look around, I see absolutely nothing for a sports fan in this state to complain about. Am I wrong?
You see only blue skies?
I mean, I'm looking out my window at rain, but metaphorically, yeah.
It's been a pretty solid several weeks, I would say.
The Thorns win the NWSL championship?
Yeah, we've got a champion soccer team. Both of the college football teams are rolling. Rolling right into Friday night, though. What do you think on that Oregon State at Washington? How's that going to play out, Bill?
That is why we're talking about how good things are now, because that is the first chance for things to change. You know, it's just funny. Like, I just think the experience of being a sports fan is so much about being miserable and unhappy. And then, like, when things actually finally change and there's that breakthrough moment, like, it does feel like so cathartic. So for Oregon State, right, we've been talking about a team that hasn't been in the top 25 since 2013, has, you know, last year broke their, you know, their streak of bowl-less seasons, going back to a bowl game this year. They could be on course. I will say it for a 10-win season. You know, their schedule is, I mean, bigger face. I mean, their schedule to me shapes up for them to be potentially 9-2 going into the Oregon State game 2 days after Thanksgiving. So Washington, though, is the big one. And just to, for those who don't have these schedules burned into their mind, Oregon State plays at Washington on Friday in what's going to be a major weather event. I believe it's called an atmospheric river. So that's going to be something to watch. But the Beavers at Washington, the Huskies, we know have a great offense, really skilled quarterback in Michael Penix Jr. That could cause some problems for the Beavers secondary. But then they host Cal, and then they go to Arizona State. If they get through Washington, I would really watch that Arizona State game as a trap game before the big rivalry game. But a conversation I was having with Nick Daschle, Joel, another one of your reporters, our Oregon State beat writer, yesterday, offline, but would have made a good podcast as well, was how that weather is going to affect this game. And Joel, if I told you that one team has a great passing offense and the other team has a great ground offense, which one would you expect could be most successful in an atmospheric river?
Well, I'll take the ground game, but really, it's like if they might as well be playing this game in the lake, then I suppose we need the team that's has the better swimmers on it. But yeah, I mean, I'm going to take the ground game. You know, the passing game it's going to be tough to pass in those conditions.
Okay, this is an important mascot challenge. Better swimmers, Huskies or Beavers?
No contest.
That's what I'm saying. Although, I mean, listen, I mean, a Husky is a strong swimming dog, but Beavers have evolved to be, they are water animals.
They are water animals, yes.
So I would also take the Beavers if we are going with the mascot challenge on this as well, which we should always consider when evaluating a matchup, I think is really important.
Damn right.
That was did you see this week the Beavers tweeted, damn good to be back or something like that in their tweet when they were back in the top 25 for the first time. It reminded me, you know, for people of a certain age and hopefully more people, but the Vegas Vacation, the National Lampoon's Vegas Vacation with Chevy Chase, when they all go to the Hoover Dam and the guide is like, I'm your dam tour guide. Welcome to the dam tour. Keep your hands inside the dam, you know, car, you know, whatever. That was what I was thinking of. So I found that gif and included that. So Beavers, I think, you know, obviously trending still upward. Looks like Ben Gulbranson is going to remain the quarterback. But Nick Daschle actually has had some interesting stories on kind of the question of whether or not Chance Nolan can lose his starting job while out with an injury. And, you know, we've all been around it long enough to know that coaches love to say you can't lose your job for an injury. But if Gulbranson, you know, keeps this going and goes and beats the Huskies on the road, where the Beavers are a 4.5-point underdog, by the way, and then you've got two healthy quarterbacks going into Cal, I don't know how you know, come off of Gulbranson. You know, not that he's been, you know, a world beater necessarily, but he's getting the job done.
Yeah, and if he's going to be, you know, 4-0, basically at that point, that's
a tough one too.
Agreed.
Yeah. I alluded to the Ducks being, by the way, I mean, you know what, I'm going to put a pin in that before we get to the Ducks, because you mentioned that they might as well be playing this game in a lake. And I think it's important to acknowledge another football game that was played under adverse weather conditions this week in Portland, Oregon, which was your son's flag football game on Sunday. Also, my son's flag football game. They did not intersect, but we intersected. We saw each other at the field because our kids play in the same organization. And when I saw you, you were beaming. You were so excited because you had just crowned a league champion. Is that correct?
It's not every day that, you know, you're getting to watch your kid play in a championship game, and then it's also, you know, beyond that, the stakes were raised because it was a tie, you know, 14-14 ball game late, a couple minutes to go. My son's team had the ball fourth down, had to get across midfield for that first down. As you know, in flag football, it's, you know, the one first down and then the goal line. And yeah, he came up with the clutch catch on fourth down to give him a first down. They scored a touchdown on the next play and the clock ran out and they won the championship. It was awesome.
Did your son's team have a team name?
They are the Flight Squad. So their coach, who's awesome, did this whole flight theme. He wore a flight suit to all the practices and games and gave out pilot hats to all the players. It was really cool.
Congratulations. That's pretty cool. My son Teddy plays in a younger division. We're still learning kind of some of the basics. He was very excited to receive a medal for participating. And in fact, his team really didn't have a name throughout most of the season. I think they were the Electric Chicken Wings, maybe at the very first practice. That was kind of what they came up with, but that seemed to not stick. And so on the way to the field on Sunday, Teddy said, why isn't our team called the Demons? I was like, I don't know. That's a pretty good name. And then I watched the game unfold. You know, Teddy, you know, mostly played some O-line, which isn't even a position in flag football. But he did, after the game, I heard the coach say, okay, and just took us to the end of the season. We finally got a team name. We're the Demons. Thanks, Teddy. So I do feel like we at least contributed to the squad this year, which was really, which was key and necessary. So now the Ducks.
Now the Ducks.
I was at Cal for their 42-24 win over the Golden Bears. And it was, it was probably what the Ducks needed, but they didn't get the most out of it that they could have, which was, you know, if they would have really just totally steamrolled Cal, pardon me. If they would have really just steamrolled Cal, I think that would have, you know, helped them kind of in the sort of arbitrary style points department. That said, I don't know how much, you know, voters are looking beyond, you know, getting the job done in a matchup like that. It's not a closely watched matchup. I don't know how much you're parsing the specifics of Cal, Oregon. Oregon took care of business is what you need to know. And you need to know that Bo Nix rushed for 3 touchdowns, threw for 3 more. He's accounted for 31 touchdowns through the first, 7 games or 8 games. So he's been pretty spectacular. And that does lead to the question of the Heisman race. And I mentioned this first after the UCLA game that he needs to be in the conversation. And I don't know. And being in the conversation is sort of one of those sports cliches that we could probably all would all be better without, but it does become important in, as we consider, you know, is this part of the story of the Duck season? Do they have a Heisman contending quarterback? And if you look, you know, kind of around the country, you know, you've seen some other guys fall off, and Nix has been steady. He has, you know, consistently been, you know, kind of been this great dual threat quarterback for the Ducks. I mean, he's had tremendous success running the ball, especially in short yardage situations, Tebow-esque, you know, in terms of getting into the end zone. Joel, I mean, where are you as you kind of study this, as you've kind of followed this, how real do you think the Bo Nix Heisman buzz should be?
I agree he should be in the conversation. I get that there are, you know, probably several guys ahead of him at this point, and that's fair, that's fine. But I think the dual threat nature is really that has been surprising to me, just how, you know, one game he'll explode for an 80-yard touchdown run, and then another game he'll drop in just a beautiful rainbow to Troy mm-hmm. Franklin for 50 yards. It's
usually Troy Franklin, yeah.
It's been impressive.
So, I mean, some of the guys who are ahead of him, I'm just looking at one of the many rankings you can find online, but I mean, kind of the obvious guy is Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. You know, not only, you know, has he had a great individual season, but kind of elevating Tennessee from the depths of nothingness, frankly, to the number one ranking in the first CFP ranking, which came out yesterday, is really, really impressive. So I do think there will be guys who fall off. I mean, Tennessee plays, Alabama this weekend, right?
Georgia.
They play Georgia this weekend?
1-3, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So that is, you know, that's going to, you know, really, that's going to shake up the rankings one way or another. And then you're going to have some more matchups, and this gets now into the conversation about the CFP, and kind of the Ducks' path, but, you know, Georgia plays Alabama still. Georgia plays Tennessee still. TCU has a couple of tough road games. But, you know, when you look at the top four, especially with Tennessee, Georgia, Ohio State, and Clemson, and then Michigan's 5. Ohio State plays Michigan. Tennessee plays Georgia. Tennessee plays Alabama, which is 6th. Georgia plays Alabama. If those teams' only losses are all to each other, it's going to be really hard for the Ducks to jump over anybody. You know, another Alabama loss, you know, obviously Oregon would move ahead of Alabama. TCU, I think you could get ahead of TCU. But to get into the top four, when the toughest games that Georgia, Tennessee, Michigan, and Ohio State all have are against each other, and Clemson doesn't have, you know, one of those really on their schedule left, it feels like, you know, the Ducks are going to have a hard time getting in there. Not because of anything, you know, I don't even look at it as because of the Georgia loss, but just as overall strength of schedule, it's just going to be really hard for them to leapfrog any of those teams. And I guess it is the Georgia loss that's holding them back, right? Because they had to work their way back up from being essentially outside of the top 25 after losing to Georgia. But the other thing to remember is that the Ducks' schedule is severely backloaded. And if they survive this part of the schedule, which is significantly tougher than what they've faced from games 2 through 7, 8, then they've certainly got a case. And I think kind of the thing that people have wondered since the Georgia loss was, would the Ducks even have a case for the CFP after the Georgia loss? And I think the answer is yes. I think but again, that assumes that you go, not only you beat Colorado this weekend, which should be an absolute bloodbath, you have to beat Washington at home, Utah at home, go to Oregon State, which has proven to be a uniquely difficult environment this season, and then win a Pac-12 title game, probably against USC. So in order to do that, you're going to have to beat three teams that are currently ranked in the top 25. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly going to build it's going to significantly strengthen their resume if they win them all. I just don't still see it being enough to then leapfrog anybody who's ahead of them.
Yeah, that they're going to need help. There's no doubt about it. And it's a tough, definitely a tough schedule. Rivalry game, top, 15 opponent, another rivalry game, and then potentially a top 10 opponent. You know, that's a very rough closing schedule.
And it just could be a moot point. You know what I mean? Like, there is something about kind of the agonizing over the CFP rankings at this point, particularly for a team like Oregon that's on the outside of it when they have their toughest games still to come. It feels like, let's have this conversation in December, when we know whether there's a Pac-12 championship game even being played that features Oregon. At this point, it seems likely, but that could change. It seems like there's a lot that needs to happen between now and then, and a lot more that needs to happen for Oregon, let's say, than for TCU or for Clemson or Tennessee.
Sure. Yeah, agreed.
I mentioned the Blazers earlier. I'd be remiss not to include them in our review of all that is good in the state of Oregon sports.
The wave that we're riding.
The wave that we're riding that is not just the torrent of it's not the atmospheric river.
It is not. It's a little different than that.
But I wrote before the season that I thought the Blazers were on the right path, essentially, but that it really wasn't about this season, because you've got young guys you need to bring along. There's probably some moves that need to be made to get the right pieces around Dame, but that I thought they were on the right path. I think that this start, this 5-1 start, has been impressive enough that I've come around on the fact that this could be a more relevant season. This season could end up mattering, and that they're even closer than we thought. Because I think Shaedon Sharpe is, a year away from being a contributor to this roster, or a year or two away from being, a frontline starter next to Damian Lillard, as opposed to being 5 or 6 years away. If he's 5 or 6 years away, or 4 or 5 years away, then you have to be thinking trade. If he's 1 or 2 years away, then you're thinking build. And that's a very different place to be in.
Yeah, I think there's hugely positive signs so far. Obviously, the 5-1 start, the play of Shaedon Sharpe, to me, the play of Jeremy Grant, Josh Hart, has been huge. And I think that the upcoming 6-game road trip is going to be pretty telling. I think, we're going to know quite a bit more about this team. What will that be, 13 games in, than we necessarily do 6 games in. So looking forward to that. Also looking forward to, Gary Payton, the second's return, hopefully within a few weeks. So,
yeah, one of the things with the Blazers is they've been so good defensively, and so far ahead of schedule defensively. And I was talking with somebody, around the team yesterday, and the thought was, can we maintain what we've seen defensively? And, I think there's a sense that it's maybe been a little inflated with the early results, but then you start thinking, hey, they're 2 weeks away potentially from getting Gary Payton back. How much does that change things? He's not Bruce Bowen, he's not whatever, legendary defender of yore that you want to invoke. He's not Gary Payton the first, but he really, what he proved with the Warriors, and he's proven, throughout his career, is that he's a guy who can guard 4 positions, even at his size, is really intense. And I think that, really fits in with what we've seen from guys like Josh Hart, Jeremy Grant, and Justice Winslow, and these guys who are kind of setting the tone defensively for the Blazers. I actually have a theory, by the way, Joel, that you might want to hear or not, but either way, I'm going to share it, about why I think Damian Lillard makes the Blazers a better defensive team.
I would like to hear that theory.
because he's not a great individual or team defender, right? He's not a guy you look to as somebody who makes you better defensively when he's on the floor. The stats certainly don't back that up. But what he is good at is setting a tone of intensity and focus that I believe carries over on the defensive end with the other guys who you do kind of lean on for your defensive strength. So by not having Dame and not having Dame in that Miami game, especially, because I don't think they look particularly good against Houston either. But then you go to that Miami game that they lost. I look at it as, you know, if you have Dame, you're much more focused. He's your intensity leader, even if it's not carrying over on the defensive end because he's doing so much offensively. That is why I think he makes them a better defensive team.
I think there's actually something to that. I think you need to have some level of defensive talent, but then once it's there, that intensity, I don't think that can be understated how important that is, you know, particularly like fourth quarter, tough, intense situation.
Joel, you have kids who are, I'm going to guess, are they Blazer fans?
They are.
Please tell me how a 10-year-old Blazer fan is feeling about Shaedon Sharpe right now.
The 13-year-old is really the bigger fan.
Okay, let's go with the 13-year-old. I want to know what, like, the childlike wonder of seeing Shaedon Sharpe debut for the Blazers has been like.
I think it's like a cloud nine sort of thing. You know, I think it's like the equivalent to, you know, what it was like in the early days of seeing Brandon Roy or seeing Damian Lillard. It's that same kind of raw joy and, you know, these huge hopes for what might be to come. It's been really fun, I think, for him.
On that note, I do want to bring in the world's biggest Shaedon Sharpe fan. It's not your son. That would have been good planning. It is producer Andrew Thien. Andrew, welcome to the limelight of Sports by Northwest. We're so used to having you behind the scenes, but this is your moment to shine, much like Shaedon Sharpe.
Let's ask what the 39-year-old thinks of Shaedon Sharpe, right?
I wasn't going to put you out there like that. But now that you have, what does the 39-year-old think of Shaedon Sharpe?
Unbridled joy and optimism. You know, I'm worried about his safety. You know, as a parent, we're all parents here. I'm worried he's going to bonk his head on the rim. He jumps too high. You know, he's got to be a little careful. He might hurt himself on the sky. But it's different than Dame and Brandon. When Dame came in, he was on a good team. LaMarcus was there. And right from the jump, it was like, oh, wow, this guy is going to be amazing. He dropped, 20 and 10 against the Lakers, you know, in his first game. And it's like, that was evident.
Ended Steve Nash's career.
Yeah, exactly. And Brandon, you know, that was different because the team was in a rebuilding phase. This, you know, we're playing with house money here. I mean, this kid wasn't expected, I think, from the fan base to come in and do what he's done already. So, you know, we're only six games into the season and he's already, you know, just learned so much. I feel like he's little baby Neo out there. Like he, you know, has a little computer chip put in his brain. It's like, I know Kung Fu, but it's with off-ball defense or things of that nature. So, I mean, just the ability to watch him learn in real time is very exciting.
So, Andrew, I shared my thoughts on this, but how has seeing him changed your expectations of the Blazers next 18 months? So that from where they might have been, you know, coming into training camp?
It's certainly accelerated a lot. I mean, I was, you know, I'm a fan, so I'm delusional. And so I was pretty optimistic. And then the preseason kind of took all the wind out of the sails. And then it went right back to rampant optimism after the start. But, you know, I think there's so many teams that are trying to figure it out. And, you know, how many times in the NBA, you know this, having covered it, do you get swept up by the, oh, if X, Y, or Z happens, this team is going to be a dynasty? Like, you can't think like that because that right. never happens. Like, you know, you've got to just seize it while it's there. And why not? You know, I'm not expecting him to be tied for first place, but, you know, we'll see with this road trip. But why can't they make a deep run, and whether that's second round or beyond or even just to the first round, I don't know, why not?
I mean, I think a playoff series win this year would be a would put the Blazers hugely ahead of schedule.
For sure. Damian Lillard is the oldest player on this roster.
And he's still 7 years younger than you.
My back just seized up right when you said that.
But I do think it is I think you're tapping into something that is kind of the theme for today's podcast, right? The irrational joy of fandom and the sort of existential dread that is the underpinning of being a sports fan. And you look around sports, like at large, like everything's kind of awful. You know, you've got the Brooklyn Nets dealing with their total mess, including hiring, or potentially being on the precipice of hiring Ime Udoka, which has certainly sparked significant backlash and is a choice, at least by the Nets. I don't think it's a good choice. And then, across the NFL, you've got teams that are unhappy with their quarterbacks. You've got injuries. You've got all sorts of things. And listen, not everything's perfect here either, right? I mean, we're still, waiting to see where the ownership of Merritt Paulson with the Timbers and Thorns leads. And, the Blazers have, some issues of their own. But from the day-to-day experience of being a fan in Oregon, I feel like there's just not bad news out there right now. And I'm not a person who believes that, we should, only tell good news and that the bad news should be swept under the rug. But it just feels like a nice time to like sports and live here. So I'm going to ask you, Andrew, producer Andrew Thien, 39-year-old man, man of the people, man of the 39-year-old people. Are you happy?
I'm pretty happy. I'm relatively happy. I'm looking forward to the game tonight. We're talking Wednesday morning. I mean, we've got John Morant and maybe John Morant playing. I don't know if he's going to play tonight. But yeah, I mean, it was agonizing to have this long break between Shaden's debut as a starter to today's game. So yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. I'm sure there are, I've long left my other fandoms aside, but I'm sure there are delusional Duck fans out there who are thinking, if they just run the table and Georgia loses and X, Y, or Z. So yeah, there's a lot of people who are very excited around this beautiful state of ours, thinking of what might be.
I mean, what else we got? We got Linfield is winning record, Joel, or they're on their way to another winning record.
66.
How many? 66?
Wow.
That's amazing. You look around, I think there's just a lot of good vibes, and you might as well take a moment to acknowledge the good vibes. Speaking of good vibes, Andrew, I did see you jamming out a couple minutes ago with your headset on. Were you listening perhaps to the Sports by Northwest house music?
Yes, I'm going to pretend that I was. I was just jamming out. And it's tell us about this new tune.
Yeah, Portland band Haystack Rock was kind enough to help us out and record our very own theme music for Sports by Northwest. So we finally have our own tunes and our own signature sound. Shout out to Scott Hoffman on drums, Brady Henderson on guitar, Dr. Jenna Emerson on bass, and Rick Peel on guitar. Music was produced by Rick Claris in Southeast Portland. Find him at learnguitarpdx.com or email him at rick@learnguitarpdx.com if you need some help fine-tuning your guitar skills or you're a beginner are looking to start out. This has been Sports by Northwest. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting the journalism of the Oregonian and Oregon Live. Thanks to Joel Odom and Andrew Thien for joining me on the show today. We'll be back next week with another episode of Sports by Northwest. Until then, enjoy the music and enjoy the atmospheric river of good vibes.